playing baseball like it's 1879. I'm Suzanne Perez, and welcome to The Range.
Support for The Range comes from Fidelity Bank, Goodwill Industries of Kansas, and listeners like you.
Coming up, a Wichita funeral home marks a milestone achievement.
Maybe that's why the Lord let us be here for 100 years.
Exactly.
We're not greedy with it.
But first, every summer, members of the Old Cowtown Museum's Vintage Baseball Club gather to recreate a nostalgic form of America's pastime. Roger Nomer watched a recent game featuring the Bulldozers and the Red Stockings, who demonstrate how the game was played in the late 19th century.
Fair ball, fair ball.
The boys of summer are back on the field at Old Cowtown Museum in Wichita, but this feels like a scene from the summer of 1879. The Cowtown Vintage Baseball Club is part of a nationwide association that recreates baseball the way it was played in the 19th century. Gary Dixie Lee is the club's volunteer coordinator. He says that in the late 1800s, businessmen formed the original Wichita Bulldozers to take on the Topeka Westerns, the best team in the state. Over 1,000 people attended those games at the Wichita Fairgrounds. They watched a game that roughly looks like modern baseball. There are 9 innings, 3 outs to an inning. 4 bases are 90 feet apart. There's a pitcher throwing to a batter.
The biggest differences are the pitching's underhand. Pitching was underhand until 1885. You could catch the ball on one bounce for an out and no gloves. Players didn't start wearing gloves until around 1880.
The volunteers at Cowtown look, act, and play the part. Their uniforms are baggy, long-sleeved, with the team's logo on the bib. They use short, wooden bats, and nobody goes by their real name.
Nicknames were very popular throughout baseball back then, so we've got some pretty fun nicknames.
Animal, Squeak,
Ike, Hoss,
Dashing Dave.
Players introduce themselves with a tip of the cap. Greg Hoss, who just goes by Hoss on the field, started as a fan before joining the team. Now he plays alongside his son, Little Hoss.
We have my son who's 12, 13, right, up to 65, 70-year-old players out here. And it's all skill levels from people who've maybe played once before to never to former college players.
Vintage baseball has been described as historical reenactment without a script. This morning's games are also competitive. Players dive for fly balls and leg out extra bases.
It's an opportunity to see all sorts of different level of skills, to enjoy baseball, but to enjoy seeing people enjoying baseball is what you'll see out here as well. Everybody's out here playing because they love to play.
Umpire Toby Hoosier-Ortstadt strikes an authoritative presence on the field. Dressed in a black suit, he waves a red handkerchief to punctuate calls.
The umpire is kind of the peacekeeper on one level, but you got to keep the game moving along. You know, you have to enforce the rules of the game.
Those rules form the basis for the game we watch today, and they connect Dixie, Hoss, and Hoosier to modern-day baseball players.
To me, that is something that I wish people would connect with, to see that there's that continuity over the centuries.
Ortstadt says baseball is uniquely American, and it's something that can transcend some of today's difficulties.
If it's a ball or a strike or out or safe, those are the arguments that we have. And that's much more refreshing than other arguments you could be having.
For KMUW News, I'm Roger Nomer.
Jackson Mortuary marks its 100th anniversary this month. The funeral home is the oldest continuous black family-owned business in Wichita and was once led by twin brothers Val and Jeannie Jackson. In this edition of In the Mix, Carla Eccles sits down with the twins' children, Michael Jackson and Debbie Dudley, about continuing the family legacy.
I read that your parents, your dads, the twins, sometimes would get paid not in dollars and cents.
Where'd you get that from?
Where'd you get that? Somebody must have told you that.
Yeah,
that's true.
Eggs and whatever, you know.
Whatever they could pay.
Yeah.
Really? Yes. Oh, my God.
Especially when they started out.
Yeah. They did.
And we didn't have money either.
No, we didn't.
No, we
didn't.
What we took in, we had to give out, you know, and that was the premise of being in business. That maybe that's why the Lord let us be here for 100 years.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? We're not greedy with it.
What do you think they most appreciated about working in this industry?
I think it was a point of helping people. and consoling people, showing some empathy toward their situation. Everybody has a different situation in this business. And so they were able to somehow get through the process of making it work. And that's what I did. I just watched them operate. And that was a bonus, too. I had two of them to watch. Well, my grandpa, three.
And now you were fourth generation, is that right?
Yes, ma'am. Okay.
And then your son, Torrance, fifth?
Uh-huh, okay. Yes, ma'am.
Okay. It's personal for you all, because quite often, I'm thinking about your parents, they knew the people, right? Even in death. So it wasn't like somebody that you don't know. You may even had relationship with them.
Right. Some of the older people who had passed away were like aunts and uncles to me, because they saw me in the business, and I appreciated their prayers or whatever they gave to make it so that it still exists. And then it's just being in this environment and being trustworthy with the people you operate with, and they appreciate that.
And Debbie, I'm thinking too, you know, integrity is really important, isn't
That's
it,
right.
in the family?
That's right.
Because I realize that you don't work in the business, but people obviously still associate you. Of course, you're Jackson, and you look just like your daddy, Jeannie.
She laughs like him too.
And talk a lot like him too. I am so proud of Michael. And you know, I get emotional because he is daddy's son. And Uncle Val's son. And my grandmother used to always have this song that she used to sing. And my mother used to play the piano over at Calvary. If I can help somebody as I pass along this way, my living shall not be in vain. And I believe that is what the Jackson family has always tried to strive to be. That is the motto.
You can read more of Carla's story on Jackson Mortuary at kmuw.org. Before we go, a few words on barbecue. I did not realize when we bought a pellet smoker earlier this summer that my husband and I were embarking on a new religion. Barbecue people are a devout bunch, rising before dawn to light their altars of smoke and trusting that time, temperature, and the perfect rub will turn a simple piece of meat into a masterpiece. Our first major cook was a pork shoulder that we thought we had timed perfectly for Sunday dinner, until we discovered a frustrating phenomenon known as the stall, where the meat's temperature stays at about 160 degrees for hours and hours. We ate around 9:30 that night. Since then, we've been watching a YouTube channel called Meat Church. We have learned about bark and smoke rings and finishing dust. We've made delicious chicken, pork, and salmon, but so far have not ventured into brisket territory. We may need to say a few more prayers before that. Thanks for joining us on The Range. Our producers are Beth Golay, Jonathan Huber, and Luann Stevens. Our digital producer is Hugo Fan, and Torrin Anderson composed our theme music. The executive producer of The Range is Fletcher Powell. I'm Suzanne Perez, and this is KMUW, NPR for Wichita.
Each story you hear on Planet Money starts with a question. What happens if we refund tariffs? Why are groceries so expensive? At NPR, we stand for your right to be curious, because the forces shaping our world can be hard to see. Follow NPR's Planet Money wherever you get your podcasts and start seeing how the economy really works.